Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Have you ever found yourself in a church wondering what's it all about? It just seems off the mark, like they're missing something, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Well, today we're going to address a topic that's rather broad in nature, a topic we've simply entitled Right Preaching, Right Purpose. So what is the role of a preacher? What is the role of church leadership? What does church look like and why? These are questions we hope to answer today here on Abounding Grace Radio as we join Pastor Chris in studio for today's program. Join us and be encouraged, won't you? Let's get going. Your job, if I can use that term and I use it loosely, your calling
yeah.
as a pastor. Yeah, let's go there. It definitely comes with some challenges. One of those challenges, and I think this would be good for us to talk about today, is your call to preach the gospel.
Right.
I know that in broadcasting in general, we try and please people because we need the ratings. I mean, if as a disc jockey, quote unquote, I'm to do good, I need to generate ratings. And so I try and please people with how I do my job. For you, though, your calling is somewhat different. It's not a people group that you're called to please as much as the God who's called you, right?
Right. And that's a big issue for the church today. This is such a big subject. It's hard to know, where do we begin and where do we begin to address this huge subject. Think of Paul in Galatians 1. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. That is so crucial for the ministry today. We have been so afraid of offense. We have been so afraid of offending anyone. We don't even really do polemics or critique that much anymore in the church because we're so afraid that it will offend someone and somebody's aunt will get offended or whatever it is and people will leave. And you're right, that sort of pressure, you know, of the marketplace, right? We treat Christianity like it's a product today. And the best we can dress up that product, the best we can package it well, the best we can take away anything that's bad. I mean, you have people who analyze, selling things, right? And analyze marketing and how to market a product and how much money goes into that. We're so programmed to think that way that in the church today, we think that is how the gospel needs to win people. We need to package it, market it, and make it as attractive as we possibly can so that people would be inclined to accept it. And that is the most dangerous place that we can be. Almost across the board today, people are concerned about offense and are concerned about offending people. But as we look at the scriptures and what they're calling us to, the constant call of Paul to Timothy, for instance, was don't be ashamed of the gospel. Now, why would he say that, Andy? Why would he tell us not to be ashamed? It has everything to do with offense. It has everything to do with the fear of men, how they will respond, what will they do? And this is the sort of core question about motivation as to why we do what we do. What is our goal? What are we trying to accomplish? And if it's just to ear tickle, if it's just to make people happy with us, if it's just to try to fill the building, we're not doing the work of ministering salvation to the people. So this is a subject we need to think a lot about in our day. What does faithful ministry, what is it called to be? What is it called to look like? And what kind of offense will a faithful ministry bring? Isn't that an important question?
It really is. Now, as you mentioned that, my mind immediately goes to the issue of, okay, one of the huge offenses is that of the gospel and the preaching. It's foolishness. And by foolishness, we tend to offend people because it seems to be foolishness in their eyes. But this goes much deeper than simply being offended by somebody in the pulpit preaching the gospel. It's full orbed. I mean, we're going to start digging a hole that can go all the way to China if we wanted to, man. It's the actual presentation of what the service will look like, what the building looks like, how are the kids' ministries involved. There are so many aspects of how we do church that can, quote unquote, offend people. Man, this is it's a real minefield if you don't take this thing seriously and look at it with wise gospel eyes, isn't it?
Yeah, we have tried to strip away in our day everything that feels churchy so that people will feel comfortable with it. So that's why you've seen the sort of shopping mall approach to Christianity today, where, you know, we buy out shopping centers, we do everything we can to take away anything that feels old, stuffy, and churchy, which is ironic because what we're finding is the younger generations actually want to see wood again. They want to see authenticity.
Right.
But we're still in this mindset that that's what's going to win people. So, you know, while the big service is going on, you can have the little service for the kids next door with the jumpy house, right, and the games, and then the big people with the band, and none of that is really confronting the issues of life. None of that is really addressing the issues of what people need. And if you're going to do ministry properly, if you're going to do it in a way that actually is going to be life-changing for people, there's always going to be a confrontation with their sin. There's always going to be a battle over sin and the patterns that we've chose, the alienation from God, the things that we do. And that's why, you know, when preaching the gospel, the good news really isn't all that good until we have felt the weight of the bad news.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what we see Jesus doing in the scriptures when he was, you know, preaching the gospel, when he was taking the good news out of his work, were serious confrontations about the sin in the life of people. I think Matthew 15 is one of the best because one of the things, what is the most taboo subject that no one can talk about today in Christianity and everyone gets all nervous and concerned about? It's the issue of worship, isn't it?
It is.
You can't tell anyone that they're wrong in what they do in the church today, but that wasn't Jesus. You know, and when the Pharisees were corrupting his worship, Jesus exposed the use of their tradition and their own man-made rules imposed over the law of God as they beat that into people and created their own system of worship and of self-righteousness. And Jesus confronts that in Matthew 15. He said, "For the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Isaiah prophesies of you." Now think about that. You hypocrites. I mean, right there's offense, right? "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Now the disciples come to Jesus after he had just gone after their worship. And here's what they say to him. Tell me if this sounds familiar, Andy. "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Whoa.
Yeah, that would step on a toe or two.
They were offended by your criticism of them, Jesus, and their worship. And I think, you know, this is important to talk about today because Jesus always had the goal to bring about the forgiveness of sins. And the only those who are sick know that they need a physician. Didn't Jesus say that?
Right.
He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The grace that people receive, the salvation that they receive, the help that they get is for those who bow the knee and confess and understand their struggle with sin and their misery and their alienation with God. But when we've taken all that offense away and we've tried to strip God of those attributes that make us the most uncomfortable, and what are the attributes that make us the most uncomfortable about God?
Oh, his holiness?
Yeah, his holiness, his justice, his righteousness, the attributes that have to do with judgment, that is out. Because that's not going to win the average, as they used to say, Harry and Mary in the seeker movement.
I think of what is it the Lord requires of you to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. At the heart of all of what you're saying is there is an offense to man's pride, which is at the heart of our sin.
Right, and that's what the ministry often does, is it strips away us and it exalts the Lord. to save us. And so, you know, when that confrontation's happening, when people's sin is being dealt with, you know, there's a great pressure on us. The great pressure is to tone it down. The great pressure is to change the message. The great pressure is to change the categories and then exalt the attributes of God that make us the most comfortable. Well, what is the one attribute of God that makes us the most comfortable? It's a wonderful attribute. I love the attribute. We wouldn't be saved without this. It's his love. But the important to say is that doesn't throw out the other attributes of God.
No.
His attributes are one. His attributes are one. And God is also just. And he will be punishing. He will be punishing sin and sinners who don't believe the gospel and don't have a savior. So we have to get to the heart of issues. We're not dealing with symptoms. But the issue for the program is the temptation of the ministry to downgrade. Spurgeon talked about the downgrade in his day. The downgrade controversy, the downgrade of the ministry in our attempts to please people. And the consequences of that are devastating in the life of the Christian and the life of the ministry. I'm thinking particularly of a passage that might be helpful here when I get there. And it's 2 Timothy, hold on, let me get there. 2 Timothy 3 and 4. When you get to 4 especially, he says something that is so warning to Timothy about the dangers of the Christian ministry. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. So that's a big issue, right? He's going to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. Here's what you are to do, Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Why? Why do we have to give ourselves to the ministry of the word? Why do we need pastors who are so committed to preaching the word? Why do we need pastors who will not waver on whatever that word says and proclaiming the truth as it is in Jesus? Because this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths.
Man.
Andy, are we in a day where people are enduring sound teaching?
I was just going to say, brother, that sounds like Paul wrote that last week.
Yeah. I mean, this is the times in which we live. We are in this season where he says here very clearly, the time will come. It's a dangerous season. This season will come where people are not giving themselves to enduring what is the true doctrine of Scripture, but they're turning aside to whatever tickles their ears. When he says that, what he's saying here, and in his day, it had to do with myths. People were turning aside to the myths of the day and turning aside from the Scriptures. But we've turned aside in every way to the pastor's short stories. I mean, we've turned aside to everything, to those things that aren't the exposition of Scripture, but those things that make us feel good, those things that are, you know, keep people happy. And that's not the ministry. And that's why Paul is saying, listen, that's their own passions turning away from the truth. We have to give ourselves, he says, to be sober-minded and endure suffering in this. Why would we have to endure suffering in preaching the word? It's because people won't want it. People won't like it. But our calling is in season and out of season. Preach that word. What that means is when the word is well-received, we just keep preaching. And when the word is not well-received or when the churches are empty, we just keep preaching. The results have always been the Lord's. And if they're going to be genuine results, we have to use the means that he's given us to accomplish that.
Now, and maybe we can spend the next half of the program talking about this. There is another side of this coin that we need to be mindful of. And while we would stand and say, no, the seeker-sensitive gospel, the downgrade, as Spurgeon is, and you have rightly said, while we must stand against that and stand firmly against that and for the gospel, there is another challenge. And I've got to be honest, Chris, if I'm to look back 30 years ago, I would have to raise my hand and say, yeah, that was me. Young zealots who seem to feel as if it is their calling to be offensive. Now, while the gospel is offensive, Is that something that, is that a goal that we in ministry should shoot for? Or is that something that we should let the gospel be offensive, but our words be sweet? How do you balance that?
I think it's important. Paul addresses this question at the end of Romans 9. He says something that I think answers your question here. He says, he's talking about Israel, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Who's he talking about?
The Jews.
And that they have stumbled over this rock of offense. And here's what it says right after that. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. The stone of offense is Jesus. The rock of offense, the stone of stumbling. And Israel stumbled over him because he preached a righteousness, Paul says, that the Jews did not want to receive. And that's why he goes on to say in Romans 10, right at the beginning, my heart and desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Why is he the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense? He is the offense if you're trying to save yourself. He is the offense if you don't come to him as a savior. You see? He's going to rock your world. He's going to confront you. It's going to be a mass confrontation in life if you're going to have any connection to Christianity. And when we have that confrontation, we either drop the knee or we turn away and go to a different message. And that's exactly the issue of 2 Timothy 4, where they turn their ears away from this righteousness to their own. It's the same issue.
Yeah. So as we conclude our time today, we've got about 4 minutes left. Listeners are listening to us talk about this today. How would you counsel somebody who has walked away from what they have felt to be an offensive message from the pulpit, and they're considering walking away from the church?
You're at
a decent church. Let's start with a decent church. You know you're at a decent church and you've been offended. How do you respond to that? And then let's take a look at conversely, a church that you've never been offended at. And how do you respond to that?
Okay. This is such a great way to end the program. We have to remember the goal of ministry. Our goal is not just to offend, right? That's not the goal. The goal is salvation. The goal is forgiveness. So if you go into a church and let's say the pastor says something, he was critical of something, or he offended you in this way, what was his goal? Was his goal to confront sin, to show you the Savior so that you would be forgiven? If that's the goal and you're rejecting that, that's a dangerous place to be. It is really a dangerous place to be. Because the goal in a confrontation, as Jesus shows us everywhere in Scripture, think of John 6, where after he had taught, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. The Jews were all offended by that saying. And he says, does that offend you? You're going to see something greater than that. The goal was that people would come to him. And that's what he says to the disciples. Do you want to leave too?
Mm.
And what did they say? He had said everything offensive in John 6. 5,000 people left him in John 6. By the way, a great sermon title to that is How to Shrink Your Church. 5,000 people walked away, and Jesus looks at his disciples and say, do you want to leave too? And here's what Peter said. Where would we go? You have the words of life. What they understood about the ministry of Jesus was that confrontation as it happened was meant to lead people to him for grace and love and mercy and kindness and help. That's the end goal here. So that's the first thing is why are we walking away? Most of the time people walk away, you have an intellectual or moral issue. It's a moral issue. Is that the sermon or the pastor touched on something going on in their lives, some sin, and it made them uncomfortable. And they don't have to hear that. They can go to another place where it's easy listening and the pastor won't press them. That's bad news. That is the wrong kind of departure from the church. On the other end of the spectrum, if we're in a church that never is willing to talk about sin, never willing to confront us and show us the Savior and the beauties of his holiness and justice and righteousness as the answer and why God is just and holy, and take sin seriously, if we're sitting under that, and we're only receiving story time, entertainment time, we're not taking seriously what the ministry is all about, and we are harming our souls and our children's souls. We have to find a place that takes God's word seriously. For where the word is preached, where Christ is made known, there is a faithful and true church. And that's what we've always believed. I think Christians, when the Bible says that, listen, you've been given the Holy Spirit, you have no need that anyone should teach you, what that's saying is you have enough discernment to know truth from error. And we need to exercise that discernment today and not play games with our lives and with Christianity. People can't play fast and loose with Jesus because a judgment is coming. And our job is to preach the word in season, out of season, so that, with the goal that, people would receive the forgiveness of their sins.
The day of God is near. He is at hand. And that doesn't necessarily mean, as we've talked about in previous programs on our eschatology, that the end of the world is coming. We're not guaranteed our next breath.
Well, that's a great point. Great point, Andy. That verse is when God is near and at hand. When he says that, that's an Old Testament use there of saying God is among us right now. and you're acting, what we're doing, as if God is not involved or here. No, God is near. God is at hand. Take seriously the call as to what the ministry is designed to be.
Ours is a very urgent call. It is a very urgent and necessary demand that we plead with you however we can to be reconciled to Christ. And if you find some small offense in that, that is a great place to start, isn't it, Chris?
Can I want to leave the listener, I know I have time to close here, but it's time to close, but I want to leave the listener with one last verse from 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars, whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So he's saying there's going to be a terrible departure that's coming. What did he tell Timothy to do? He says, to this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who's the savior of all people, especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Until I come, listen to this, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. See what he's saying there? Hold that word high. Preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Keep preaching and teaching in the midst of these times. That's what people need. That's how they're going to be saved.
Indeed, it is the supremacy of preaching, the foolishness of preaching, as Paul put it. Boy, he held preaching in high regard. And if we see that preaching is held in high regard in God's word, then it must be a priority for us as well. May that be a serious part of your life in Christ. Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. And if you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday for another broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.